Titus chapter 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. Titus 1, Deuteronomy 6. Appreciate these boys and girls working so hard to earn the money to go on their mission trip. And that's honorable, commendable. God will bless them for that. Titus 1, Deuteronomy 6. Our message tonight is faithful children. Faithful children. We're not talking about adult offspring. We're talking about children, faithful children. And I say that for a very important reason. Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter number 1, and verse number, let's start at verse number 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. With that, 1 Timothy, we go to Deuteronomy in just a second. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4. Again, qualifications for leadership. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So in the Word of God, the Lord calls upon the leadership of the house to ensure that the children in the house are faithful children. Amen. Now, what we say, how many children do you have? Well, you might be here tonight, you might be 70 years old, you might have 6 children, but you don't have any children in your house. I hope not. If you're 70, not if they're ill or medical reasons, we understand that. But the idea here is, if a man knows how to rule his own house, so we're not talking about whether or not your adult children know how to rule their own house, but we are responsible for making certain that the children in our house are faithful. Now that doesn't mean full of faith. We'll get to that in just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. And ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Why would you? Isn't the Bible big enough? Isn't there enough in the Bible to try to live up to without adding to it? And not to show you diminish aught from it. We know why people take things out of the Bible. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And then come down to verse number 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it. Keep them therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a wise and understanding people. What do you see that anywhere today? Do you look at people and say, this is a wise and understanding people? I look around and I say, this is a clueless bunch of people. We go on so far, they don't know male from female and sons from daughters anymore. They don't know husbands from wives and wives from husbands. I mean, we're really in a bad situation because we've abandoned the Word of God. Now, come to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go there. That was chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 6. And the Bible says in verse number 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I don't have any reservation about saying this. I don't hesitate to say this. Most parents would not consider it fanatical to have their children subjected to 6 hours a day, 5 days a week of secular education. And if their children are interested in some sort of hobby and activity, it might be sports, it might be music, it might be just whatever it might be, they wouldn't consider it fanatical for them to have 2 and 3 practices a week and travel to games on the weekend. But somehow or another, if you have devotions with your family and you teach the Bible to your children and you assign Bible reading to your children and you attend every church service, you're some kind of weird fanatical cult. And I'm telling you, the fruits of devoting our parental time to teaching boys and girls everything but the Word of God is evident everywhere we look in our nation.
Yes, sir.
And I don't believe it's fanatical, extreme. I think there's something wrong with a Christian that wants their child to be better at mathematics than Christianity. Better at science than Christianity. Better than English and grammar than Christianity. Better at football or dancing than Christianity. They're just something wrong with singing and saying the most important thing in the world is Jesus Christ and the greatest book that was ever written is the Bible, and then ignoring both of them so we can make certain that our children have aptitude in every other field of study and every other aspect of life, but not the Word of God. I think it's a great failure nationally in America. This I will say, having been at this thing now for coming up on half a century, parents, save parents, maintain rules for their little ones because there's little resistance. But as the children get older and the rebel nature kicks in, many parents begin to yield. And their rebellion, the child's rebellion in the teen years, will expose every weakness in the flesh and character of their parents. And America's not going down the drain because of lost people. America's going down the drain because 3 generations of saved people now have decided they would rather be pals with their rebel teenagers than stay right with God. And they've sold out the Bible, and they've sold out the Lord, and they've sold out their churches, and it hasn't helped. It hasn't fared us well at all. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's a responsibility of the father and of the mother not to ask their child if they want to be faithful, but to ensure that their children are faithful. So somewhere, I don't know when it happened, really, there's not a time you can point to on the calendar, but somewhere along the way, this thing got flipped around, where the parents don't dictate to the children dictate to the parents. That's a manifestation of abandoning God's Word.
Right.
Honey, would you like to eat this? Honey, would you like to wear this? Honey, would you like to go there? Honey, do you feel like going to bed today? Who came up with the idea that 13-year-olds should dictate to men who are paying their way through life? Lord said, faithful children. Faithful means, now let's follow this through. Faithful means firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Now let's stay with the definition, and then we'll read some verses. You can't make your child get saved. You can't make your child believe the Bible. You can't make your child love Jesus Christ. But your child, under your roof, it is your responsibility to make sure they adhere to the truth and the duties of your Christian faith.
Amen.
We're going to church. I don't want to go to church. We're going to church.
Amen.
It's time to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. You're going to read the Bible.
Amen.
My roof, my furniture, my electricity, my water, my lawn, you are going to Sunday school.
Amen.
Amen. Now, it'd be great if one day your son came to trust Jesus as much as you do. It'd be a great thing one day your daughter came to love the Lord as much as you do. Or the day may come when they say, I'm out of here, I don't want anything to do with this. That's on them. But while they are your children in your house, it's on you. It's a funny thing. People say, if their child said, I don't want to go to school, you're going to school.
Yeah.
I don't want to study my test, you're going to study for that test. I don't want to do my chores, you're going to do your chores. I don't want to read the Bible. Okay.
Help us out, man.
Well, what you're saying to the child is everything's important in this home but God. And we won't give up your education. We want you to make money, and we won't give up your chores because we don't want to do them. But if you're not all that interested in Jesus, we'll just drop that. Faithful means firmly adhering to duty. You know, part of the reason your country is in a level of debt that you can't calculate in your mind. And you can't wrap your... Nobody can wrap their head around $50 trillion of debt. How do you get in that much debt? I'll tell you, getting that much debt. Half the people in your country don't work for a living. They live off money stolen from people who worked for it. You know where they learn that? They learn that when they're 6 years old, 7 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. You don't freeload around here. Dad's going to go to work during a paycheck. Mom will work around this house all day long. You are going to do your share today.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you're not going to sit at the welfare table and eat free food.
Yeah.
You can help with the laundry. You can help with the yard. You can help with the cleaning. You can figure out how to wash windows. You can do something to contribute around here. Faithful, firmly adhering to duty. Third definition, constant in the performance of duties or services, exact in attending to commands. I'm going to read you some Bible verses here in a minute. But you know something? I ride through town and I see help wanted, help wanted, help wanted, now hiring, now hiring, now hiring. You say, how come all those positions are open when all these people are out of work? The reason they're open is when I hire someone to fry French fries, I want them to hold the handle the way I told them to hold it. And dip the fries the way I told them to dip the fries. And take the fries out when they're supposed to take the fries out. And put the right amount of salt on. It's not that hard. Unless you've never had to do what you were told to do in the way you were told to do it. And then you can't keep that job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'll tell you something. Once upon a time, I was 7 years old. Everything back in those days was in black and white. Our home was black and white. Our clothes are black and white. Everything was black and white back in those days. And it made no sense to me at all why you had to put pairs of shoes in the closet with each other side by side. Who in the world cares? Take off your shoes and throw them in the closet and close the door. It doesn't matter. Until you get a job and that man says, you drive this truck to that spot and you park it this way at this time and you pick up that load of goods and you sign these papers. And you know something? If you haven't learned to do what you're told without adding your opinion to it or changing it to suit you, you are going to remain unemployed. Praise the Lord. And God have mercy. I have stood right here and this man loves that woman and this woman loves that man. Until death do them part, they're just going to be in love forever and forever and forever until she finds out he has no discipline and he finds out she has no ability to serve. And then it's a disaster and they're both saved and they both sing in the choir and they both love the Lord. They just never had to fold their clothes. They just never had to make their bed. They just never had to brush their teeth without back talk. Amen. Faithful children. Observant of compacts, treaties, contracts, vows, or other engagements. True to one's word. You sign on to do something, you do it. You say you're going to be there, you're there. You say you're going to be part of something, you're going to be part of it. And guess what? It's not all going to go the way you thought it went. You know why people can't stay in church? Because they can't stay in anything.
Yeah, that's
true. You know people can't be faithful to the Lord and faithful to be part of a congregation? They've never been faithful to anything. You need to teach your children. You got a book reading assignment? You're going to finish that book. But Mom, my favorite show is on. You ain't got no favorite show. You got a book to read. Did you get that report finished? It's not due till Friday. Well, you might be sick Thursday. Get it done Wednesday.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Faithful children, true, exact, in conformity to the letter and spirit. Now, look at the next definition. And this, you say, what's this got to do with, I don't have any kids, why are you talking to me? The next definition of faithful is true to the marriage covenant. You know, people have a hard time being husbands and a hard time being wives. They've never been under authority as children. You don't want to marry somebody who got to do whatever they wanted to do, regardless of what was in the best interest of the family. Conformable to the truth. So none of that definition of faithful said saved, Bible believing, serving God. You can't make a Christian out of someone, but you are assigned by God to make a functioning, profitable member of society out of someone. Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost are going to have to make them Christians. Amen. But you can prepare them so when they get saved, it doesn't take, the pastor doesn't have to raise them from age 5 to age 18, starting when they're 40. You know, one reason we talk sometimes about this. We mentioned this morning. There really did used to be King James Bible believing Independent Baptist suit wearing dress wearing righteous churches in America that numbered 800, 900, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, and dozens of people out door knocking. And you know why? Because in 1965, when a man got saved, you didn't have to teach him to be a man. He's already a man. Now he's going to work for Jesus like he's worked all his life. When a woman got saved, you didn't have to teach her to love her husband and raise her children and be faithful to principles of biblical Christianity. She'd been living those since she was a little girl. She just needed Jesus. And so when those people got saved, they just took off running, living for the Lord. Now people get saved, you got to teach them to be polite. You got to teach them to be kind. You got to teach them to show up on time. You got to teach them to be willing to actually do. Most of the church right by says Sunday morning service, 11 o'clock. Sitting for an hour is service? That's not service. That's a rest time. And then you go out and serve God. Anyway, so faithful children. Let's look at some Bible here. Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. Proverbs 20, verse number 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You ever try to give out gospel tracts at a 4th of July event? Let's practice. Give you something about Jesus? I'm good. Give you some the gospel, I'm good. Something about the Lord, I'm good. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Look at the next verse. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. It's a blessing for a child to be taught to be faithful. It's a blessing to that child their entire life to be taught to be faithful. Now, you know, we don't come into your home. We don't spy on you, snoop on you. We don't run your lives. We haven't figured out yet a way to listen to you on your cell phone. We leave that to Uncle Sam. We don't know how to do any of that. But I'm just going to give you a little help here. Your children will have a better life if they have a bedtime and a getting up time. If they have a supper time and a breakfast time. If they have chores to be done. If they have assignments. I'm just telling you, it is a biblically, it's a responsibility of parents to make sure their children are faithful, know how to adhere to duty, know how to do what is asked of them to the very best of their ability. And the Bible says, you look around, it's pretty hard to find a faithful man. Everybody in here that owns a business, you know what you're looking for? You know what you wish you could find? People who would work for your business like you work for your business. People that put the same heart into it you put into it. People have the same desire you have. We're trying to build this church building out here. And you know what we want? You know what we want for block masons and electricians and roofers and tile people? You know what we want? We want people that are as devoted to putting that church building up as we are. Hard to find. Hard to find. And getting saved, great, it'll get you to heaven. But it won't get you to retirement. And it won't get you to the end of the month. And it won't get your bills paid. And it won't hold your family together. Praise God, it gets your sins forgiven, it gets you to heaven. But what this country is sadly lacking is people just know how to be faithful. Just show up, get the job done, do it right. Don't. What would be funny? Help wanted, and you pulled in, help wanted, I need a job, help wanted, now hiring, I need a job, now hiring, and you go in there, and the employer says, well, what are your job skills? I'm really good at talking back. Whatever you tell me to do, I am really good at telling you why I shouldn't do it that way. And you tell me when you want me to be here, and you can count on it, I won't be here. Who's going to hire you? But if that's how your child is allowed to live, you're not helping them. Luke 16. Somebody got to back me up here. Help me out. I'm out on the limb. Somebody's sawing the branch. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. Now watch how this plays out. So I just think that all we ought to do is just live for Jesus. No, I think we ought to put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus didn't say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and forget all about these other things. He said, no, put Him first. But having said that, this is also what Jesus said. Verse number 8, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's a sad thing. Lord's saying, I got lost people that know how to function in life better than some saved people do. That shouldn't be. Verse number 9, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Manna has not fallen from the sky for several thousand years. It doesn't work that way anymore. Water hasn't come out of rocks for several thousand years. It doesn't work that way anymore. You know what your children need to learn to do? What lost people require of them in order for them to earn a living. What lost people require of them in order for them to not go to prison. What unrighteous people require of them in order for them to stay married. Now watch this. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. The internet has just exploded. Everything wrong, the internet has multiplied it by immeasurable. It used to be if you wanted to preach, you had to at least convince some people to come and listen to you. Yeah. Or rent a building and convince some people to come and be part of it. Now you just go on the internet and talk into your phone and call yourself a preacher. And let me ask you something. Where have you ever been faithful to church? Yeah. Where have you ever served in church? What small jobs have you ever done from God? You want to go from saved and rebellious to everybody listen to me, I'm a preacher?
Good preaching, go ahead.
You had the wrong kind of daddy. You had the wrong kind of mother. You know who listens to those kind of preachers? Rebels.
Yeah.
Rebels. The Lord didn't ordain the living room.
Right.
He ordained the church.
Yeah.
And the Lord didn't ordain everybody that can plug in a microphone and a camera. He ordained pastors and teachers and congregations.
Yeah.
And you know, brother, sister, we want everybody to preach the Word of God, hallelujah. We want everybody to be used to God, hallelujah. But how about pick up a rake once in a while? How about pick up a mop once in a while?
Good.
How about when you walk in and see dirt on the carpet, you don't wonder who's going to clean it up?
Preach.
Why are you coming to tell somebody that there's a mess in the bathroom? You're 40 years old, you don't know how to pick up paper towels, you don't know how to mop up a mess somebody made on the floor? Well, I don't know. You know why you don't know? Because mom always cleaned up your messes. Because you sat there, your lazy self, while you watched your worn out mother mop the floor and pick up the mess. Amen. Mom, you're not helping the kids. Dad, you're not helping the kids. Train and be faithful. Faithful adherence to duty. Amen. Hallelujah. In the little things. I didn't get it. I honestly didn't get it. I don't guess any child can get it. I didn't get it. My parents were so, you won't believe how unreasonable they were. If we had homework, we couldn't go out and play until our homework was done. Horrible. If I was sick and I said, Mom, I'm sick, I got a sore throat, I don't think I can go to school. Okay, if you don't go to school, you can't play after school.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to school. you know what God was doing when I was 7 years old through my parents? Preparing me to go to church when I didn't feel great.
Yeah.
And preparing me to study my Bible when there were a lot of ways to go out and play. So I feel like I'm called to preach. Well, that's good. That's good. How were your grades? Well, no, I just, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on me. I doubt it. I really doubt it. I've heard a lot of that preaching. I was in a meeting one time, and this guy got up. He said, God gave me this message. And as he's finishing up, stepping down, the guy next to me leaned over and said, God's really slipping. He said, you know, we don't have a lot of preaching in the world today that sounds like anybody studied their Bible. And the reason it sounds like they didn't study their Bible is they didn't study their Bible. And the reason they didn't study their Bible is they don't know how to study. And the reason they don't know how to study is the parents figured out the easiest way to a diploma so they wouldn't have to be bothered. You know what you need? You need to be raising faithful children. Faithful children. And they won't always be happy children. I just want my kids to be happy. Luke 19, you want them happy for 10 years, you want them happy the rest of their life. Luke 19, verse number 16. This verse goes against Kyle's sermon the other night. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. A lot of us living out that verse. That's a British unit there. Anyway, I wanted to get verse 17. And he said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, what's the point in both these verses we just read out of Luke? The way to prepare young people for big jobs is little jobs. The way to prepare young people for great things is small things. And I really, honestly, I want to be very careful how I say this, because I don't ever want to set myself as the example, because there's so many flaws here. But I feel as though, with God's help and you're allowing it, I've accomplished a great deal in my life. I've gotten a lot done in the years of time that I've been on this earth. I was blessed to be raised by people who instilled in me this idea that whatever you are doing is the most important thing in the world at this time, and you should do it to the best of your, not 75%, not 80%, the best you can possibly do that is how it ought to be done. Now, that's a lot of pressure, you say, on a child. Until you read about our founding fathers, by the age of 10, learning Latin and Greek. My mother, her high school transcript, the classes she took in high school were more difficult than what I took in 4 years of college. Her senior year, she's got shorthand, she's got calculus, she's got Latin, she's got... I'm looking at 12th grade. I said, Mom, how'd you do it? Well, we didn't have TV. We didn't have teams. We didn't have this. We didn't have that. It's just you devoted yourself to your education and your learning.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong to have entertainment and activity and spend fun time with your kids and all that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if they don't see in you and learn from you diligent, steadfast, give it your best, use all that God gave you every hour of your life, you're cheating them. Faithful children. All right, now let's carry this forward into matters of ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Got a big surprise for you. Don't leave. Don't get upset. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Now, if you weren't taught these things, you weren't raised this way, you need to get with God and self-instruct. Teach yourself to be faithful. Train yourself to be faithful. Amen. You know why we got all these nursing home ministries that I don't participate in? Because we got people who know how to start something and stay with it. You know why we have these outreaches on every Friday night and every Saturday night and every Sunday afternoon? Because we have people who are committed to starting something and staying with it and seeing it through. You can have a good preacher and a lousy church. You can't have a good church without faithful people.
Amen.
It takes a lot of them. And where they come from? Childhood training. Let me show you what God said about a man that just got saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now listen, God looks down on this man, Saul of Tarsus, newly converted, and he says, that man's done some awful things in his life. But now that he's saved, I can put him in the ministry because he's faithful. Not because he's smart, not because he's got great ability, not because he knows how to wow people, not because he has a tremendous personality. If I give that man a job, he will do the job. And he commissioned Paul. They sent Paul out to go out and preach the gospel in cities where it had never been named before. And they whipped him, and he got up and kept going. And they beat him, and he got up and kept going. And they put him in jail, and he got up and kept going. And they ignored him and mocked him, and he got up and kept going. And they threatened to cut off his head, and he just kept going. And the Lord says, see, he's faithful. He's faithful. I don't know if Paul's a good preacher or not. I don't know if he's a good speaker or not. I don't know if he's eloquent, if he was enthusiastic, if he was monotone. I don't have any idea. But God said, if I give that man a job to do, he will do that job to the best of his ability.
Amen.
And that's what we need. That's what we need our parents to teach our boys and girls. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verse number 11. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11. This is talking about deacons. And verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Faithful in all things. Now, we all want, every man that's married, we all want a faithful wife. Oh, you women don't want a faithful wife. But every man wants a faithful wife. Now, that by definition, that doesn't mean a woman that knows the Lord as her Savior, though that's, praise the Lord, I wouldn't want to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And it doesn't mean a woman that when the sky is falling, she's trusting God. And no, faithful. That's a big job. Taking care of little babies and the big baby you're married to. Taking care of the home, all the duties and responsibilities. That's a big deal. And I'm afraid, so many times I'm afraid. I see that girl walking down the aisle, and she's beautiful, and that boy's got the tear in his eye and the tremble in his hand, and he's just so excited because she's so pretty and she's so beautiful, and what he's going to find out is she's so lazy. She is so selfish. She's so unprepared. God have mercy. God have mercy. I've been telling these boys for 40 plus years, what's her mom like? How was she raised? You think a girl that never took instruction from dad is just can't wait for you to put a ring on her finger so she can submit to you? You think a girl that sat on the throne in the living room waiting for everything to be done for her, you think you're going to come home to a clean house and a good meal? You're going to be in for a big surprise. You know what that Bible says? For a man to have the liberty to take on the added responsibility of leadership in a church on top of his career, he better have a faithful wife. Because if she is not, if she doesn't know how to devote herself to the duties of wife and mother and Christian, she's not a sail, she's an anchor.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I'm teaching my kids the Bible. That's good. Y'all teach your kids the Bible. But you better teach them to do what they're told when they're told with the right attitude. It carries over in every aspect of life. Okay, one more verse. I know some of you have had enough already, but one more verse. So Paul's going to die one day. He's gone. Timothy's going to die one day. He's gone. Every preacher's going to die one day. Every missionary's going to die one day. Every evangelist's going to die one day. Every deacon's going to die one day. Every Sunday school teacher's going to die one day. So the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Now watch. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled itself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, we can teach you the Bible. We can't teach you how to continually take the entangling ropes of lesser things from off around your hands and feet. We can teach you the Word of God. We can't teach you to soldier in the face of difficulty. We can teach you the Bible. We cannot put in your heart an ability to endure things that are not convenient. You know what's a good time to start learning that? When you're 4. When you're 6. When you're 9. I'm tired. Get it done. I don't feel like it. Finish it. I don't see why I have to do this. No, you don't. Do it. You're so mean. You're so hateful. No. No. We got a room full of military people here. You know what the first thing they do when they put you in that military is? Teach you how to do what you're told.
Yeah.
Well, no, I want to learn how to fly jets, and I want to learn how to drive tanks, and I want to learn how to shoot Tomahawk missiles into, you know, nuke facilities. I don't do all that stuff. No, no, here's what you're going to do. Hit the ground. Push-ups. Get up. Run. I'm tired. And you know that thing is good soldier. That thing's front-end loaded. You know why they make that basic training so difficult? So that whatever you face after that won't be near as hard as what you've already been through. This generation has been so destroyed by the internet and our school system. My parents, they made my life so hard. They were supposed to. I think we're so, I had all these chores and all these school and all these responsibilities and all these rules. And it's supposed to prepare you so that whatever you face the rest of your life is nothing compared to what you've already been through. The discipline, the training, the adherence to duty, the allegiance, the obedience, the response. About the last thing in America that survives on merit is sports. That's one reason why men really like sports, because you have to earn your place on the team and you have to earn your time in the game and you have to earn the championship. And so men are drawn to, well, look, they're the best. They proved they were the best. And you know why those guys win those championships? Because when the coach said, you stand like this, they said, no, I don't think so. I would stand like this. And when the coach said, this is the best way to pass the ball, they didn't say, no, I watched the video, and I think you pass it this way. If a guy wants to win the trophy, he devotes himself to the training and the preparation. And we want our children to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and win crowns. And they don't get those crowns without a good foundation, good training, good upbringing. I wouldn't put school ahead of church, but I wouldn't let school be done haphazardly. I wouldn't put household chores ahead of church, but I wouldn't let them go undone. And if they weren't done right, I wouldn't let it go. Because then a pastor one day is going to have to deal with a bunch of people that say, well, man, I serve the Lord. Yeah, but you left all this out. But you didn't do it right. So we had this yard. It was like 25 acres. Actually, it was a real small, tiny yard. But when you got to reach like this to get the handle of the lawnmower, it's a giant yard. And if you put the handle down where you could get leverage, it wouldn't really cut right. So anyway, once you get a self-propelled one, you tell my dad to get a self-propelled one. Self-propelled one. But I'd mow the yard as fast as I could because it was so tiring and so hard. And I wanted to play football for 2 hours. And my dad would come home, and it'd be you know, sun be setting, and he'd go out and look, and he'd come in the house, and he'd say, strips. Strips. And that's when you mow this, and you mow this, and there's a little piece in between that you didn't get. And it'd be bedtime. And you have to put your clothes back on, and he'd turn the car around, put the headlights on the yard, and you'd have to finish mowing the yard like it's supposed to be mowed.
Amen.
say he's a mean man. You're in one of the best churches in America. And it didn't just happen. It happened because God trained somebody to do it right and do it their best and not quit until it was done the way it should be done. I thank the Lord for my father and for my mother. Now, I've had to take back a lot of things. But the Lord didn't say, you make sure you get your kids to pray a prayer of faith. That's not on you. You make sure your kids devote themselves to Jesus Christ. That's not on you. You urge them, you encourage them, you teach them, you set the example. They're going to have to trust Jesus. They're going to have to yield to the Holy Ghost, decide to live for the Lord. But you are responsible for making sure that those under your roof are faithful. And if I was a mom here tonight, a dad here tonight, and I didn't have duties and chores and responsibilities for my children, I wouldn't go to bed this evening until I drew some up. And I'd institute them. And they get mad at you. You say, you take it out, Brother James. He told me to do this, and I'm just doing what I was told. But I tell you, it'll help them. It'll help them for the rest of their life. Amen. All right, Father, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for our visitors that have come tonight. Pray you bless them, and we're so happy to have them. And Lord, we look forward to what's remaining for this evening, and pray your hand of blessing be upon that as well. In Jesus' name, and amen.